Hey, get this. For the first time in almost a decade, we're getting ready to launch American astronauts from American soil. Some weather has to clear, but they're ready to launch SpaceX this afternoon. And, you know, speaking of a launch, it'd be kind of cool to find something that would launch a round of short covering in corn futures, too.
Live from sort of sunny northeast Iowa via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Rich Nelson from Allendale. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz checks in from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
You know, it may be sunny right now, sort of, kind of, but just hang out. It'll change in a little while. I got a feeling it's going to be a race to get the yard mowed before the rain sets in.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid so. Actually, I've got a problem with my lawnmower right now. The boy was out mowing last night on a ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ran over a trampoline spring.
Oh, boy.
And it just wrapped around everything it could find under there. And he did catch it, but there were several revolutions between discovery and the actual incident itself. So I'm going to deal with that.
When I was a kid, I discovered that the lawnmower is a heck of a good way to spool up some electric fence wire, too.
Yes.
It
I just
happens.
Need to find the right nippers. I know I've got them somewhere. I just got to find the right nippers, and I can have him back on the road in no
Speaking
time.
Speaking of nippers, I didn't talk about it this morning.
Yeah.
But I feel like a new man. No, not because of that nipper.
Okay? Have you been to the barber?
I got a haircut yesterday.
That's exciting.
You got to be careful when you're talking about nips and everything on this show.
Yes.
I'm talking about the haircut.
You sound like you look great, like you're a new man.
I am telling you. It was kind of weird, though. You know, because everybody has said you either decide that you are going to, that business requires a mask. And if I want to do business with that business, then I'm going to put on a mask and wear it. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of goes against just how I'm wired. All right.
Yeah, I agree.
But I put the mask on. I went in. I got the haircut. I walked out and the mask was removed. But I got what I went there for, and that was a haircut, and I feel pretty doggone good about getting it.
Atta boy. Yeah.
All right. Hey, Bubba standing by. Let's go ahead and get to what was moving the markets today.
Well, Chip, USDA reports 81% of the spring wheat crop was seeded as of May 24. Chip, that's still behind the five-year average pace of 90% done. North Dakota has just 70% of the spring wheat crop planted when normally 88% of that crop is seeded in the biggest spring wheat production state. Development of the winter wheat crop is just behind the five-year average with 68% headed. Condition of the winter wheat crop improved with 54% now rated good to excellent. That's up 2 points from last week. Winter wheat rated poor to very poor, unchanged at 16%. July hard red winter wheat was 4.5 cents higher at 4.51¾. July soft red slipped 2¼ cents to 5.04¼. July spring wheat softened 4.5 cents to 5.13¼. Chip.
And one more on the crops. It looks like we've got a little bit of rain heading into Ukraine, Russia. That's going to help that winter wheat crop over there.
Mm-hmm. Corn planting jumped to 88% complete as of May 24. That's 6 points ahead of the five-year average planting pace. Emergence is also now ahead of the average development with 64% emerged compared to the five-year average of 58%. In the first corn crop condition rating of the year, USDA rates 35% of the crop as fair, 58% good, and 12% excellent. That leaves just 5% for poor to very poor. Iowa's corn crop is rated 81% good to excellent and just 2% poor. Crop watchers say crop development and conditions point to trendline yields. July corn futures 1.5 cents higher, 3.20½. September corn firmed 1¼ cents to 3.25¼. December corn closed at 3.34½. That's up 0.5 cents on the day, Chip.
Yeah, July corn is tethered to 320, D's corn to 334, and it's going to be hard to break it away.
Yep. Bean plantings are now 65% complete compared to the five-year average of 55% done by May 24. Bean emergence is also ahead of average with 35% up and out of the ground. July beans spiked resistance at 850 early in the session, then quickly dropped on profit-taking, sending prices lower on the day. But by the close, bean prices had clawed their way back to the top side of unchanged. Today's gains were slight, but chart watchers were looking for gains to confirm yesterday's solid move to the upside. And there is growing concern that Brazil's battle with the coronavirus could shut down some activity at the ports in the days ahead. July bean futures 1.5 cents higher, 848.5. August beans up 1.5 cents, 850.25. Novi beans 855.5. That's up 0.5 cent on the day. And Chip, I didn't get to it in this morning's news on AgriTalk, but they're now calling Latin America and especially Brazil the new epicenter of coronavirus as their number of infections have surpassed Europe and the United States.
That's what we're going to be watching very closely over the days, weeks ahead, is just exactly how they deal with it, Davis.
Yep. Well, live cattle futures are starting to chop through overhead resistance with today's close the highest since March 5. June live cattle futures were $1.40 higher at $100.80. August cattle up 147.5 to $100.72. August feeders 72.5 higher at $134.02.5. And on the snout side, yesterday's hog slaughter reached 405,000 as capacity continues to come back online. June lean hogs were 32.5 lower, 60.17.5. July slipped 27.5 cents, 59.30. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Real quick, July cotton up just 11 points today at 58.34. D's cotton was up three ticks at 58.03. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba? What's on your mind today, man?
Let's talk baseball, baby. Let's get it going.
Is it
going
to happen?
I think it'll happen. Listen, it's money, right? It's all about money, baby. Yeah. Just like everything else. And they'll settle it. They all want to get it going. The players want their checks, and the owners want that TV revenue, so they'll get it going.
Good, good. I cannot wait to sit and watch a Cubs game and not have to try to figure out what year it is that I'm watching by the players on the field, man.
No kidding. It's almost like trading the grain. You got to figure out what you're in at 320 corn. I'll tell you, it's amazing. Right. But they look good, baby. I'm telling you, it looks like they put a bottom in. So although I'm still a little bit negative left, but I'm pretty happy about the action in grains. I think they're going higher from here. Okay. I don't think they're going to spike higher, but I think they'll gradually break out. And if we can get corn past 325, I think it'll be off to the races, which will be good. And obviously, meats look really solid. And when we get through with the meat packers trying to screw everybody, we'll really get rocking.
Okay. You know, beans had me worried around midday today when they turned to the downside and it looked like another failed rally attempt. But the ability, the way they clawed back, even closing just slightly higher is a positive sign, isn't it?
Well, I agree 100%. I had similar thoughts that it was a little bit snarky. But again, you know, we've seen it, but it looks like we finally – again, as I said a few weeks ago, I think that the bottoms are most likely in. And today's close, a top-sided consolidation, a little bit of a small breakout. I mean, we could go, you know, listen, I could see 860, 870 coming nearby and possibly higher. I'd like to see him take off here and run. And I think, again, I think things look good overall and based on the overall conditions. So I think everything looks pretty solid. And I think that the price will start to drive these things higher. And that's obviously what we all want to see.
Very good.
All right, I'm out.
Very good.
Goodbye.
All right, see you, Bubba. That's Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. When we come back, conversation with Mr. Rich Nelson from Allendale right here on AgriTalk. AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
Join AgriTalk the first week of June for Pork Week, paying tribute to the pork producers who bring lean and nutrient-rich pork to your table. Coverage brought to you by Merck, PIC, United Animal Health, Alltech Hubbard, and HiPor. Learn more at porkbusiness.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis with me there.
Davis.
I tell you what, I hope Bubba's right. I hope they – it sounds like the owners want to play. It sounds like the players want to play. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to figure out exactly how the owners are going to pay the players right. when the gate is going to be greatly reduced mm-hmm. from what it has been in the past. You got any ideas for them, man?
You know what they could do? They could open the gates. I don't know how, you know, maybe to limited people, whatever, every sixth seat or something, say.
Sure.
But then, after the game, the winning team gets to take all that ticket money and divide it up amongst themselves. And that's how they get paid. Huh?
I like it.
It's a thought. And the losers? Losers pound sand. You're out. Next time, think about winning so you can feed your family.
That might add a little incentive out there to play the game a little harder. You know
what I mean? Throw the ball gooder next time. Then you can eat.
Imagine an error? There'd mm-hmm. be eight guys on that guy that commits an error
about
in a heartbeat.
Yep. You want to see some pristine baseball. That's how you get it.
They'd give him a code red in the locker room after the game.
All right, let's get this conversation going with Rich Nelson from Allendale. Rich, it is good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic here. Sounds like you guys have a good time as well.
Well, we're trying. We're trying to keep the right attitude. And speaking of attitude, I think you probably heard Bubba. He's trying to be positive on these grains and trying to take some positives from the way that beans came back and did close even slightly higher. We are starting to see some buying interest come back into this corn market. It's very light. I get that. But I don't know. What's your general attitude here?
Yeah, I think we can say we've got enough news or information to at least for the short term. We're probably done going down. But I'm still waiting for the news item or whatnot that gives us the push to go up. And you know, one thing which I'm still following very closely is the fund selling issue here going on in these grains and specifically corn. 3 weeks in a row of 24,000 to 31,000 contracts each week, and yet prices unchanged, if not a little higher. So yep. we've got good signs for stability. We don't have that gotcha story, though, yet here.
Right. It feels, Rich, like they've tried to muscle it to the downside and failed. And because of that, we've seen it before. I know you've seen it before. Sometimes you don't need a reason. Sometimes the only reason is that it's done going down.
Boy, that sure is the truth. And that's the toughest thing. And adding on top of that, if we don't have a nice, juicy story to say, this is why we're going to go back up, and we do start this uptrend like you're talking about, the thing I don't like is oftentimes I finally realize that maybe 20, 25 cents off the lows, you know, pretty much after a rally is already, you know, a third of the way done or a quarter of the way done. So a little concerned about maybe missing it if it does happen here.
Right. Okay. So we take a look at this planting progress that we've got. We've got 88% of the corn crop planted and 82% is the five-year average. And when you look at the state by states, there are some that kind of stand out to you because of, you know, falling behind not just the average pace, but still behind the year ago. Like Pennsylvania a year ago was 59% planted. This year, just 47%. The other one that really stands out and I think is important is North Dakota at 57% a year ago on May 24th. 54% planted this year, Rich, and we're past the last planting date on the insurance. It's guys have been telling me all year that they're going to pull the pin on corn planters when they get to this point. Are they going to do that this time?
And that's in this case what our branch office in North Dakota said over and over the past 2 weeks. You know, for the people at home, you know, on the corn side, farmers told USDA they want to plant 3.2 million acres of corn. They're sitting right now with 1.5 done and wondering, am I going to move to soybeans or In the case of what our North Dakota office is telling us directly, you know, we're probably going to see only a portion of that go into soybeans, and we're just going to prevent a plan up here.
Yeah. Yeah, prevent plan or maybe sunflowers or something like that. But the big difference between this year and last year, Rich, what is it that is encouraging that prevent plan over last year? I couldn't believe how they stuck at it planting corn a year ago, but they're not going to do it this year. Why?
And that's actually really interesting. I wonder if two years in a row is just enough for them. Also, you can argue that for a lot of these guys, they actually feel in some of their locations that things are maybe worse than last year's moisture situation for some specific locations. So I think both those involved are certainly two big concerns. And heck, the last thing is, I think this is a year where we got enough bobbers down, so to speak, that maybe the psychology issue is also adding to it here.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So we're going to see some prevent plant in North Dakota. We might see some prevent plant in other states. We might still see some replanting in some key areas. Is this enough of what does it do to your total planted corn acres? USDA back at the end of the March told us 97 million. Doesn't sound like you think we can get there.
No, and I think we've all had this conversation pretty much since that March planning report itself. I think a lot of us suggest that, heck, corn prices since then did change a little bit since that survey was taken. And so whether we're going to knock off, you know, one group says 2.8 million acres of corn, out of corn, another group says two, I think that's a general range right now. Anywhere from 1.75 up to 3, I think is a regional discussion. Not enough to get us a rally, but it can start a series of better stories up ahead.
Right. Well, I was going to say, if you take, let's just go minimum here. If you take 2 million off of that and get us down to 95 million planted, but we're still looking at a national average corn yield of 177 bushels per acre, something like that, 178, that's not really enough to fire me up and get me thinking about higher prices. Now, if we take the 2 million off, and eventually run into some kind of a weather issue down the road that could take off more bushels, now maybe we've got a running start on a rally. But I don't know if we've got anything to be too concerned about in the weather outlook, do we?
No. And this June, July, August forecast from NOAA on Thursday, which is for most areas normal temps and above normal precip. You know, in any case, that's usually a recipe for slightly above trend yields. So, like you said, we don't yet have any type of weather news to add on to our concerns about acreage here.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Sometimes we just need to stop the selling and start to move things back to the upside. Hopefully we can see something like that happen in this corn trade. Let's kind of wrap up the corn conversation here in this segment, Rich. Do you feel any urgency to do any risk management in this market right now?
As someone who literally does this for a living, no.
Yeah.
Realistically, the new crop corn obviously is going to be below $3 if all the supply information does hold true. But as we're going into the first stages of summer, do we want to get too heavy on things? And certainly, and heck, can we get a lot of farmers willing to sell at this price is another, you know, third leg of that question right there too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. As we look into that 2020-21 marketing year, I don't know a whole lot of people that are that concerned about these potential changes to the supply side. I think when they look at the new crop marketing year balance sheet from USDA, they look at that total use and that one, basically a billion bushel increase in total use from the current marketing year. Rich, how much concern does that give you?
There is a little bit. And, you know, if this virus issue lasts into September and beyond, has USDA cut corn for ethanol enough there? On the other hand, what if our economy does come back a bit stronger than people had suspected in this third quarter? And there are economists who are saying that. And if that's the case, then maybe we can actually argue some of our concerns about corn for ethanol demand, maybe that may be fixed. So I think there's a whole lot of questions still in front of us here.
Yeah, there certainly is. And, you know, when we come back, Rich, I want to talk a little bit more about that ethanol side of the market and how much of a recovery, when the recovery might take place, how long a recovery is going to take to really develop in there and what to expect from it. And what's going to be the indicator? What's going to tell us the most about how this market is moving along and getting us to the end zone? We're talking with Rich Nelson from Allendale Inc. right here on on AgriTalk. We'll continue the conversation next. It's time for the headline news, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing today. The initial corn CCI rating is slightly below the five-year average for the end of May. Positive COVID-19 test interrupts loading of beans onto a Brazilian ship. Trump says people will know of very interesting action to be taken regarding China before the end of this week. I want to talk to Rich about that in the next segment, too, because that China-U.S. interaction is obviously very important right now. Meetings begin today on EPA's proposed RFS levels. Iowa pork producers could get millions to cover disposal costs for up to 600,000 euthanized pigs, and a dip in consumption weighs on Chinese egg, poultry, and pork prices. Check out all that Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
Got to wait for Davis to get done banging his head before we continue on here. You ready? You okay?
All done. I think I'm ready. I'm good. Right. I think.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Yeah. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We're talking to Rich Nelson from Allendale. Before we get back to the conversation with Rich, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the market's closed.
You betcha. Well, July hard red winter wheat was 4.5 cents higher at 4.51¾. July soft red slipped 2¼ cents to 5.04½. July corn futures were 1.5 cents higher at 3.20½. December corn closed at 3.34½, up a half cent on the day. July soybean futures 1.5 cents higher, 8.48½. Novi beans closed at 8.55½, up a half cent on the day. July cotton 11 ticks higher, 58.34. June live cattle futures $1.40 higher, $100.80. August feeders were 72.5 cents higher at 134.02½. And June lean hogs 32.5 cents lower at 60.17½. Chip, that is your quick market recap. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Rich Nelson is with Allendale. Rich, a couple more things on corn here. I can't get away from it yet because there I've got a couple of reports on Twitter here. One is from Farmer Bob N.W. Moe. He's got some corn that's emerged, but it's got water standing in the field. And then Raj M8 from Southern Minnesota also tagged us in a tweet. Got a lot of water standing up there in Southern Minnesota. We've been saying it all winter that because of the way that the corn crop survived last year, it's going to be tough to get a too much rain rally going in the grains this year. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. 100%. And definitely not something yet that's like I said, not really a rally point yet, but it is an issue. And I think that's a very valid discussion that a lot of the industry needs to have these next few weeks here.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Ethanol. We were talking about it just briefly there at the end of the last segment. During the headline news, we said that there are meetings today on EPA's proposed RFS levels. And that's kind of a briefing before everything gets final and published in the register is how I understand it. But what do you make of this ethanol industry? I mean, what's it going to look like during the recovery? And what, man, I hate using catchphrases like this, but what's the new normal for ethanol going forward?
And I'm concerned about those issues on top of the just general point that it looks like the ethanol industry is going to be more sluggish in getting back to business compared with other portions of the energy side. Gasoline demand last week was down 28% year over year. Here we are on the ethanol side, our production that previous in that week was 38% below last year. So I'm just a little concerned that we may have a recovery in the economy. We may have states opening up, whatnot, and we may not see the benefit as much as we expected to, even in that good positive scenario. So a little concerned about the ethanol side here right now.
Okay. How much of direction can we get for the corn market from what is happening in the energy markets, crude oil in particular?
I think actually a bit. You know, the simple fact is for us on the positive side, we've stabilized this energy market. That's positive. And we do have a very slight uptrend in the past couple of weeks. So that's positive as well. And that also has shown in higher ethanol prices. So that's true. But obviously, it's just not yet enough to encourage people to really be flipping a lot of plants back on and changing the story. So it's something I'm watching. I'm also watching the general commodity buying viewpoint as it stands right now.
Yeah.
That's good, too.
Well, you know, Rich, a couple of weeks ago, I had three or four guests in a row that the main thing that they wanted to talk about was the inflationary pressures that were going to be coming to this market once we get some velocity going in the money supply out there. And since then, it hasn't even hardly come up as a conversation point. What's your thought on that? Is the comparison to a 2008 scenario or the potential for a 2008 scenario just out the window?
In terms of a quick recovery or something like that, maybe it is, but I do think what you mentioned about velocity. So for people listening, we have the Fed printing money, so to speak, and in different than that previous recession, this money is going into consumers' hands. So that's one difference. And that does mean an excess money supply potentially. But the other thing needed, like you did mention, is velocity, people spending it, people trying to turn over their spending quickly. And so far, that's not yet happening. People are still trying to restrict and constrain their spending. So it's an issue maybe in a few weeks, maybe in a couple months, but not just yet here.
Okay. So with your set of expectations that you've got in your mind right now, what does the economic recovery in the U.S. look like? Is it the U? Is it the W? Is it a V? Is it a hockey stick? What is it?
You know, I don't know anything about the virus stuff as far as whether it's going to come back or anything like that. So I can't make any claims about that. But I would suggest we are going to have a relatively stronger rebound in this third quarter than what people are currently suggesting. Maybe not roaring back, but I do think that this idea of a slump, very wide U-shaped recovery, which takes a long, long time, I think maybe that's a little unrealistic, though, on the positive side.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. So I love what Trump said in a tweet that there's going to be some very interesting action taken regarding China before the end of this week as China continues to crack down on Hong Kong. Feels like another powder keg issue, Rich. Am I overstating that?
No, that's a big question for us. And the tools at his disposal are not terrible and severe, but it's the issue of, are we going back to this issue again? Are we changing that story again? So today, Secretary of State Pompeo told Congress that Hong Kong is not autonomous, which is maybe a first step in maybe losing what we call the special status that Hong Kong has, where we treat them a little differently than China. So that might be something to look at. I sure hope we don't escalate this much from where it currently stands.
Okay, so when you take what we know about China, Hong Kong, China, Taiwan, all of those different relationships that are out there, and then you see how China is getting into it with Australia, how China continues to do some battles with Canada, it's turning into the world against China in a lot of ways, isn't it?
It actually is. And I think also throw on top of that, India, they've got some border disputes as well with them. So, yes, this is an anti-China story. I hope we don't stick our heads into it too much and take the focus away from China. So, yes, it's a concerning issue. On this one, I do think we have the advantage compared with 2 years ago. But for right now, let's see what happens. This is tough.
Yeah, this is absolutely crazy, the situation that we're trying to figure out and how China's going to dig their way out of the hole that they've dug for themselves with the coronavirus and everything. Okay, let's talk the livestock side of things here for a little bit, Rich. This beef market just went off the charts for us, literally went off the charts for us. It's backed off now. It feels like we're getting some of the cattle slaughter capacity back, or we are. We went over 400,000 head of hog slaughter yesterday. We're getting some of that capacity back. What does that tell us about future price action for both the cattle and the hog market as we get that capacity back?
I'm still concerned about how we price the live animal level right now. So I'm concerned that that packers don't have to pay whatever, you know, type of relationship we have to wholesale meat. I'm concerned that with our backlog, even if we get these plants back to 95% capacity, I'm still concerned that they don't have to pay any type of market pricing because there's that hog waiting to come in the front door, plus this backlog waiting behind them too. So a little concerned we might not have this type of rebounding prices we want to see on the live animal level, maybe until the early fall here.
Yeah. You know, I hope people understand that the pressure isn't off at 100% or at 95%. It's not off at 100%. We need big Saturday kills in here. It'd be nice if we could get the plants running on Sunday to try to eat through that backlog. But it's going to take a while because we've just got so many hogs backed up. Some are estimating now that the backlog on hogs, Rich, is 2 million head. That seems too far.
It does. And in fact, our own numbers are now 2.8. So we have a full week and a half already in backed up numbers. And we need to fit this into a kill schedule, which we have a few weeks of low summer kills. But numbers are going to be building up anyway in just a few weeks after that. So it's going to be hard tackling this backed up marketing problem here.
Okay. Real quick, anything that we can do on the risk management side for cattle or hogs?
On the very short term, not too much on the hog side. I don't think anybody wants to lock in these prices or expects lower prices yet. Cattle end, I still think there's higher prices coming for the October and these contracts. But we can't quite convince producers to make a lot of sales right now with a $10 discount at the cast right now.
That's right. Rich, it's always fun to talk with you, sir. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Oh, yeah, man. That is Rich Nelson with bringing the good info today. Really appreciate all of his efforts. Davis and I will be back to wrap it up next.
AgriTalk is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, a national partnership to help farmers scale conservation for their businesses, the environment, and their communities. To learn more, visit agweb.com/ACAM.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on, for our family and yours.
All right, welcome back. Davis, is there any way that we could just wrap this up right now real quick?
Yeah, you got things to do, bro.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the weather's going to cooperate or not.
I checked the radar during the break, and the rain is starting to bear down on my little my little ranch here in Bremer County, Iowa, and I'm a little concerned that the seeded out grass in the yard is going to get, you know, at least another 48 hours to grow before I get to it.
Uh-huh. So it's gone to seed already?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
so
bad. It's
so
bad.
This urgency is ill-placed is the way I hear that.
Yeah, right. right?
It comes a little late. Like, well, where were you, a couple of days ago?
Dude, it's been raining. It's been
Been windows. I actually, for the first time, mowed with my headlights on a couple of days ago. I'm like, here's my window. I'm doing it now. It came out great. Yep.
It has. No, I have not had an opportunity since. I guess I would have had an opportunity on Sunday afternoon, but doggone it, I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, no. So you don't want
because
to do that.
According to at Farmer Bob NW Mo, I would have mowed on Sunday, I probably would have found some net wrap.
Ooh, yes.
He says that's just as bad as the electric fence wire.
Yes.
Or whatever
I can imagine.
It is that
the trampoline spring. Yeah.
Trampoline spring.
Boy, she's coiled on there tight.
That is going to take some nipping.
Well, I've located the blue nippers in the meantime here.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
So,
Good luck with that. Okay, also during the break, someone sent an email to host@agritalk.com.
Host@agritalk.com, and it shows up in your thing?
Yeah.
Way to
get... And I get it. I get it. Okay. It's from Steve.
Okay.
Hello, Steve. I'm enjoying the show right now. I know everybody is heavy-handed on China, but I think people are missing the bigger point. China doesn't care if every country in the world fights with them and calls them names as long as we keep buying their products.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hard to argue, Steve. And yeah, I'll admit, you know, you kind of do lose track of that from time to time. And Steve also makes the point of what are the big companies that really kind of flourished during the stay at home, during the shutdown period.
Right.
Walmart stayed open. Mm-hmm. Where did they source a lot of their product? Amazon stayed open. Mm-hmm. Where does a lot of their product come from? Yeah, I get it. You make a good point, Steve, and it is something to consider. China has never shown a high level of interest in being a good neighbor to anybody.
Yeah. Nope.
As long as you keep buying our products. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a good point, man. Good point. Mm-hmm.
And really, they have come a tremendous long way just in the past few decades as we have sort of become more reliant on them as a supplier for these manufactured goods and stuff. It's kind of, you know, if there is blame to be passed around in some part, it's our own fault. If we're saying we're too reliant on them, well, how did we get there? Well,
right.
We asked them to make our stuff for us.
Yes.
You know, so untangle that trampoline spring, you know?
Yeah, that's right. That's. I think we now have a new one.
I don't think
untangle
the blue nippers are going to do it.
Trampoline spring. Yeah, I don't think the blue nippers are going to catch it. At Hawkeye Hamer, he's out. Let's see, what's he doing? I'm not exactly sure what he is doing out there, but he's raising a little dust, but he's got a storm in the background. And get this, the Ingles boys are looking good.
Hey.
Yes. They had the same they got the same relief that I did. I got the haircut yesterday. The Ingles men got the haircut today. Love it.
Nice. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. All right. All right. The conversation with Rich. I think it's the recovery and how long the recovery is going to take. This is something that it's one of those things that when I'm, you know, sitting around in the evening, I might be reading a news article. All of a sudden, I realize I'm reading the article, but I'm thinking about something else. Or I'm reading a book and I'm thinking about something else. Or I'm watching TV and I'm thinking about something. And what I'm always thinking about is, what does this recovery look like? How long does it take? Where does it lead us? What does it mean for corn? Could we get the inflation bubble going for the commodities? And I'm having a hard time finding the trigger that makes it happen. I'm not saying that doesn't mean it's not out there. Mm-hmm. I'm just having a hard time identifying what that trigger of those inflationary pressures might be going forward, Davis. You know, and if the energy markets would decide to just turn and go straight up, okay, maybe we're starting to find it now. But yesterday we had some strength in crude oil, and today we're $1.40 lower.
Yeah.
Nope. So it's not like all of a sudden commodities and the big risk on commodity of crude oil is a magnet for dollars. That's not happening. And until it does, I just don't think that it's going to be difficult to see that develop in the grain markets too. So, yeah.
I'm trying to look at the fundamentals.
Oh,
here.
Oh, one of my favorite listeners. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite listeners just hit me with this. Thank you, Emily. Wouldn't a vaccine be that trigger? Yes, that is your. That we talked about that a couple of times, and that is what you're looking at is if you get a vaccine or very effective therapeutics, that is your hope for that kind of a V-bottom recovery, where if something like that would happen, we would hit the bottom and go. And hey, you know what? Maybe that's what stocks are trying to tell us. Maybe because here we are with the Dow up over 400 points again. So, you know, maybe that's what stocks are trying to tell us, that we are on the path toward getting that that vaccine and that medical end of the COVID crisis. Good point, Emily. Good one. All right. Hey, for Davis and for producer Joe Stackler, thank you for listening. Tomorrow morning, we've got Brad Coima from Iowa Cattlemen's Association. Jeff Cooper from RFA is going to be on board. Talk about the latest developments on the biofuel industry. And tomorrow afternoon, Sam Hudson from Corn Belt Marketing right here on AgriTalk.